scripture readings tonight are basically on the theme of God's eternal purpose. We're going to read Ephesians 3, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11 to begin with this evening, because these are the verses that tell us that the Lord Jehovah purposed our existence and what our work was to be as we sit here right this moment from eternity. And that is to give the word and to give the knowledge of Jesus to not just the world, but Satan and his helpers as well. Shall we read, if we will, starting with verse 8. It says, "For me, who am less than the least of all saints, with the grace given me to preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery which for ages hath been hid in God, who created all things, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, might be made known through the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Our songs this evening will be based upon this subject.
Church is one foundation.
Oh! Number 470.
Have you a heart that's weary, trending a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden to bear? Do you know, my Jesus? Do you know?
Promises that we have discussed and will continue to discuss in our songs and scripture readings tonight. If you'll turn with me to the 12th chapter of Genesis, we'll pick up there verse 2, and then we will jump to Genesis 22. This is the beginning of where Abraham was called to be God's man. And we pick it up in the 12th chapter, verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and be thou a blessing. In other words, Abraham was to be a blessing to the people. The nation, of course, became Israel, but the nation more fully is Christianity, or Christ's kingdom. As we turn ahead to the 22nd chapter, we have the first, or really the second, rather definite picture of Christ and what he was to do and have to come. Because if you remember the story, Isaac, the son, has been born a few years before, maybe as many as 20, maybe as few as 12. And God decided that he was going to test Abraham, because you see, the Lord doesn't just look in their hearts and say, oh, I know he'll do it, so therefore I'm going to save him. He makes us do something. And we pick it up in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, starting with verse 11. They have come now to what was out in the country to them at that time, but where it is right on top of that mount in the middle of Jerusalem that sits there tonight, the Dome of the Rock, Mount Moriah. Starting with verse 11, he's now been told to sacrifice the boy. He's tied him up. He's on the wood. And he raises his arm with the knife to plunge it into his heart. A human sacrifice, it appears to him, that God has told him to do. But, verse 11, and the angel of Jehovah called him out, however, and said, "Abraham, Abraham," and he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou hast not withheld thy son, that thou fearest God, since thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." You notice he uses the word "now I know." He didn't know before. This is God that knows everything, but he said, "Now I know, because you've done it." Two books in the New Testament explain this, and a third that we're going to read from in a little bit, that tell us that this was accounted unto faith for him because he did what the Lord told him to do. Jumping down now to the 18th verse of that same chapter, chapter 22, he tells him, just like we read from the 12th chapter, said, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice."
We look at things we cannot see, eternal things above, where Christ our Savior ever lives and intercedes with love. We walk by faith, we cannot die. Our hearts are filled with love. In hope we wait for Christ's return to take us home above. Love is a glorious place prepared by God the Father's Son. We hope to see him face to face and hear the words, "Well done." We walk by faith and not by sight. Our hearts are filled with love. In hope we wait for Christ return to take us home above. We saw thee not when thou didst come
to this poor world of sin and death, nor yet beheld
two verses. As we have sung this evening, we weren't there, but the reason we're here tonight is because we believe the deed was done. We didn't walk with him in the open way. We didn't get to talk to him. But we know that he lived and was here, and that he reigns with God at his right hand now in preparation of return. The meaning of the scriptures of Genesis 22, verse 11 and 12, is found in the statement that the Lord makes to those Jews when they were about him, when he was explaining that he was the Son of God, and the fact that Abraham saw his day. And they remonstrated with him, "Well, you're not even 50. How can you possibly do this?" You see, they thought Abraham, their father, gave them salvation. They didn't really know what salvation was, but they thought Abraham gave it, and they didn't need anything else. We pick up the reading, as the Lord says in John, the 9th, in the 8th chapter, starting with verse 56. It says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." You see, the day he saw was the one we read about in chapter 22 of Genesis, verse 11 and 12. Because he saw that his son, which he accounted as dead, he received in a figure back as from the dead. And we're quoting from James now, and also from Hebrews 11. "He saw it and was glad. The Jews therefore said unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old. How hast thou known Abraham?" Or, "How hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was born, I am." And remember the statement that he made to Moses when Moses asked him who he was. He says, "I am that I am." And now he tells these Jews again, before he was born, "I am." He's from eternity, and it's from eternity we have this promise. Dear Father, we thank thee for this time that we have together. We thank thee for the gospel, and we thank thee for the many blessings that thou hast given us. We thank thee for the minds and speech that we have, each of us, to be able to take thy word in our mouths, to be able to express it to the world, and to be able to prove that thou art the Son of God, that thy Father Jehovah hath been, and thou forever. We pray, dear Father, that as we think and consider these things, to give thee the praise, that we might be able to convince someone this evening to be able to recognize that it is necessary that he obey the Lord Jesus Christ in that obedience that we were told, the same type of obedience that Abraham was told, that we obey his voice, that we obey his commandments, to own him as our Lord, because if we are Abraham's seed, or rather if we are Christ's, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise. And those that do not believe that this is the case and scoff at these possibilities, we know that it is necessary that thou call them first. But we would do so at this time in our prayer as we mention this call that comes ringing down through eternity, that thou art our God and that thou hast promised us salvation. And this we thank thee for, and we know that it is only on the blood of Jesus Christ that we are to be saved. And is the only basis, is the only way. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
There is beyond the edge of God.
ages clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from my wound this side which flow be a sin of double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow?
Been hidden in the cleft of the rock by God himself, covered with God's own hand, safe and secure while he passed by. When Moses was given that opportunity, it's something that must have been earth-shaking for him, and in the real sense, being hidden in the rock, he came to know God. What must it have been like to have met God face to face, to have been in his presence, to have known that? It might have been easy to have faith in that, standing before God and in his presence, knowing that he was real and looking at him right there. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, talking about faith and talking about Moses in particular, I want to start in verse 23 there. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward of Christ. I find that always intriguing when I read that. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. What it must have been like to have been in the presence, the actual presence of the Creator of the universe. Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. Help us to strengthen that faith and that love. Help us to show it by by our actions here on earth. We thank you, Father, for the examples of those great men of old, of Moses and of Abraham, all those who, by their example, we know the faith that they had. We pray that you help strengthen us through your word, that as we look into that word and know your will for us, that we might put it into our hearts and our lives, and that all that we do might be pleasing to you and to your glory on this earth. Thank you, Lord, for loving us as your children, for sending your only Son to die in our stead, that we have that opportunity to come before you as those without sin, whose sin has been taken away. We thank you for that blood of Christ, Father. We thank you for the faith that we are able to show in that promise that was given. We ask that you are with us tonight, that you hear our worship and our songs of praise, and that as our voice is raised to you, that it becomes a pleasing sound and as a sweet-smelling smoke going up before you. Thank you, Lord, for being our Father. We pray that you continue to watch out after us and care for us and give us peace, Lord. In the name of your Son, Jesus, who did die for us, we do pray. Amen.
I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust his holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work and pray, I will work and pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker every day.
Boss says, I don't care what you do, go ahead and do whatever you want to, and I'll still give you a paycheck. I don't think I'll ever hear that, because he does expect certain things back for my employment. I'm working for him. And in this life, we work for Christ. We are workers in the vineyard, as we're singing about. The second chapter of James talks a lot about that, and tying in with the idea of faith. Talking about those of the faith of Moses and of Abraham. And it gets down personal to us as James speaks to us in the second chapter of James. We'll start reading let's start in verse 15. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless?
From the streams of salvation, give thanks to His great and holy name. Make known His deeds among the people. Make known His exalted way. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and shout for joy, for the Holy One is in our midst. Praise the Lord, and shout for joy, for He is in our midst.
I will give thanks to Thee, O Lord, for although you wast angry with me, Thine anger is turned away, and Thou dost comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation, and I shall trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. Therefore you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation, and in that day you will say, Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Make them remember that His name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for He has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in our midst is the Holy One of Israel.
Jesus is wonderful, Savior divine. Jesus is wonderful, and He is mine. Yes, Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is mine. He is the one that I love. He is my Lord and King, Savior divine. He is the
Our peace.
Isaiah chapter 9, there we'll read verses 6 through 7. For a child will be born to us, a son that will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness, from then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Chapter 53, and first we'll read verses 5 and 6, and then 10 and 11. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray, each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Verse 10. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief, if he would render himself as a guilt offering. He will see his offspring and will prolong his days, and the good pleasures of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities.
As the Apostle Peter wrote by inspiration, that is, as he spoke that which was from God, he allowed us to understand about our Father, as he said, as well as the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All the promises of God, all the blessings that he has to offer, are of no value to an individual if he or she is unwilling not only to obey the gospel, but to continue therein. We're fixing to sing in just a few seconds, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But over in Titus chapter 2 and there verse 11, it says, For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Paul then told Titus to speak these things to exhort and to rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise you. That's the very thing that we have been doing tonight. We've been speaking that message of God's grace and God's promises and God's mercy. And it is a message that had its beginning before the very creation.